The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, August 21st, 2011. For those of you listening live, and as always, obviously not if you're listening to the recording, thank you for joining me here today. I am very pleased to have a special guest here with me today. And before we bring him in, I am going to do what we always do to start the show, which is to bring the community together a little bit more closely, a little bit more consciously. So, as we begin, just allow your own breathing to deepen, go into your heart, and open up to allow yourself to connect as fully as you're able at this time with this community, the community here co-creating this show today. Everyone who's listening, whether they're listening live to me right now as I speak the words or listening to the recording of them, all the energies are here. And so allow yourself to open, to feel that presence of this group of us who are here choosing to move forward in this way. And that next step, to consciously open up and connect with our Mother Earth, and to feel that support, that love that she has for us always, that she is with us here, ready to give us whatever it is we need and to support us in moving forward in whatever way is most appropriate for us to do so. So let yourself breathe her presence up and in. And open up as well to that group of beings, ascended masters, angels, guides, spiritual teachers, the spiritual hierarchy, all those beings who are here to support us individually and collectively as we move forward on this path of mastery. Allow yourself to really breathe in their presence, to feel that support that, again, is always with us. And finally, to connect with and open into connection with the entire group of people on the planet who are consciously choosing to move forward into their power, the other light workers. There are many, many, many of us. And so the more we can remember that, the more we can feel that support, the easier it is to move forward. So just take a moment and breathe that level of support in as well. That we are here in a multitude to create the changes individually and collectively that are on the agenda right now. All right. Thank you for joining me in that and opening the doors here to co-create this show here today. So I am very excited. Now, I do not have the guest that I thought I was going to have today. I was blessed to bring someone sooner onto the show than than I had expected to ask him. But obviously Spirit was needing to bring the messages that he has sooner to all of you who are listening here today. So my guest today is John Davis. He's a good friend of mine. I've known him for a number of years now. First met at the Great Lakes Retreat in Michigan, I don't even know how many years ago. But I've also taken one of his trips to Egypt. That was the third time I went. I went with John and the group that he was taking there. And he is, just to give you a little bit of the broad spectrum of who this wonderful being is, he is the director of the Spiritual Unity of Nations, a group dedicated to creating or bringing the world as one family. He's also the director of the Coptic Fellowship International, an organization based on the mystery schools of ancient Egypt, which is one of the places that we cross paths very directly. He is the founder of the World Service Order Program, training metaphysical leaders in stepping into their leadership and exposing themselves as leaders since 1985. He is an Egyptologist, president of World Light Travels, and he has led 28 tours to Egypt. He is an internationally known numerologist, and I can certainly attest to the power of that work. I've both received individual work from him and taken some class time with him. And he's the author of Messiah and the Second Coming and Revelation for Our Time, which is a positive universal prophecy for these times that we're in and the times that we're coming into. So, that being said, welcome, welcome, my friend John.
Well, thank you, John. It's an honor being on your show.
Well, it's an honor to have you here. So, as is the norm when I have guests, what I'd like to have you do is start with a little bit of the story before the story. The story before you got to be doing all of these wonderful things as a light worker and teacher that you're doing now. How, you know, what was your life like a little bit before that, and what were the initial steps that got you to step onto the path?
Well, as a very young man, I was a stutterer, of all things. Between the age of 8 and 18, and here I become a public speaker later. It's quite interesting.
Absolutely.
The story of each of us have to overcome something before they become that which they've overcome. As a parapsychologist, I use that in my sessions, as my counseling sessions. To become something, you've got to overcome that. After getting through college, I started looking for other religions. I was a choir boy from the age of 7 to 18, and sang in the choir of each congregational church, a nice little Christian church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Uh-huh. So I had a Christian background. But when I got out of college, I started seeking. I felt there was more to the mystery of religion than what I had perceived. I heard of a man named J. Oliver Black. He was a disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda. And I went to see him once a week, 150 miles to Detroit in return, at his feet, learning from him, learning how to meditate, learning about universal philosophy. And shortly after that, a friend of mine had heard of a Coptic master in Detroit. His name was Kurt Stanley. So they asked me to come over and meet him, and I did. And as soon as I laid my eyes on him, I said, "That's my spiritual father." Mm. He was truly a very unique individual. He was clairvoyant, he was clairaudient, and he was into self-mastery training, which I needed at that particular time. So every week, lining up to see this great master were CEOs, owners of companies and organizations, and they were going to him for financial advice. And he could see within you, and he knew I had trouble with diet, meditation, exercise. So every time I saw him, he would tell me what I ate the day before. Amazing. And I was a doubting Thomas, and I couldn't believe he could read my mind all the time. And so I had to ask Spirit every week, driving down there, "I can't believe this. Show me that this man can see what I'm thinking." Every week he did. And then a remarkable thing happened. He had four cities he'd visit every week. Detroit, Toledo, Chicago, Milwaukee. And I want to go see him in Chicago. So my lead foot sports car, Corvette, I was speeding over there to get there on time. Right. So as I walked in his temple, he called me over and he said, "Young man, you're speeding too much. You've got to slow down." Well, that did it for me, because I knew no one knew that but him, and I really became a believer. And every 4 weeks, he talked about diet, meditation, and exercise. And he was a universalist. Of course, Coptic means Egypt. Right. And he taught us all about the hidden Egyptian mystery schools. And as a result of that, that brought me in a position in the late 60s when I was ordained as a Coptic minister in 1969. And then I started teaching in two cities, Kalamazoo, Michigan, and Flint, Michigan, every week. And I would go and I would talk about self-mastery, the Egyptian mystery schools, the history of religion before religion. And, of course, that all boiled down to the fact that the early Christianity and all other religions began with self-mastery. It became, the whole thing was based on nuns and priests being trained in monasteries and then going out in the world and teaching people how to do diet, meditation, exercise. And, of course, we know what happened at the Council of Nicaea when it became a religion.
Right.
And now I really feel religion as a whole, and I believe in all religions are wonderful. The Coptic philosophy is a universal philosophy, really embracing all world religions. We have the flags behind the podium at the center, and we talk about all different kinds of religions because we think all religions are wonderful. And as a result of that, this kind of philosophy, and we call it a philosophy, not a religion, mm-hmm. we're here to do. I call it the Alpha and the Omega. We begin as a child. We have a life script, which I do with numerology readings, exactly. I take the name and the date of birth and give them a 30-minute numerology reading. Of course, within the name of each person are their past lifetimes. And, of course, the date of birth represents what they're going to be doing with it. It's basically their life script. So everything I see with that reading, I tell the individual, because it is their life script. They created before this lifetime. And it is a science. I've done over 11,000 of them. And as a result, it's probably, in my opinion, the most important work I do, because I see a life change within a half hour of the reading, because they get their script. So to make a long story short, I began as a little Christian choir boy, and now I'm in a very advanced philosophical perspective and been training metaphysical leaders since 1985. And if anybody in your listening audience is interested in becoming a metaphysical leader, we have trained hundreds of individuals, not who've gone out what you've done, John, because you have exceeded expectations of many of us. But have our directors of organizations, our speaking all over the country, have started teaching in their churches or whatever, and I'm proud to say there are a lot of metaphysical leaders. So that is our class is starting this fall, by the way.
And oh, wonderful.
It's 4 weekends a year, and teaches people how to take what I call a minister without a church. How to go out in the world and to serve. So that's a brief synopsis, John, of my background and where I am today.
Wonderful. other than the stuttering and your own self-doubt, were there any other particular issues or struggles that you've had along the way to deal with that could help some of the people listening maybe deal with some of their own issues that they're coming up with? I find that to be a really powerful help for people when they can hear what someone else who's doing the kinds of things you're doing had to go through to get there, to do that self-mastery piece that you're talking about, which is essentially the focus of what I'm trying to work with here with people.
Well, I'm writing another book, writing my third book, and one is on family DNA. And it's a whole chapter on the fact that we are born to a mother and a father who were our children in another lifetime, and the way they treated us is the way we treated them when we were their parents. So the first breath we take as a small baby, we take in the positive and negative attributes of our parents.
Right.
From that seed, we have to deal with those issues. We succeed in spite of our father or because of our father, because of our mother or in spite of our mother, and we have to deal with this karma, this family karma, because it's very close. As you symbolize the soul dropping into a pool of water, it creates ripples, and that first ripple is the most important, because that is where it begins. So as I had a very, very challenging childhood, extremely challenging childhood, and I won't go into detail what my father was, but I had to become the opposite of him. He was a great father and a terrible husband. And as a result, as I grew older, and I think that was the reason for my stuttering, is because of that, is that childhood. And many of people listening are dealing with what my good friend Tom Zinser says, they're frozen at a certain age. That something traumatic happened to them, and it keeps going back to that particular issue as a childhood. And what I feel very strongly about, until that is forgiven, then this energy has a challenge of growing into be a Christ-conscious or Buddha-conscious being. So I deal with I do tons of counseling, family counseling, addictive counseling, saved many, many marriages, and really dealt with addiction because I had addiction issues, minor addiction issues. I didn't smoke, drink, none of that because my dad did.
Right.
But there are other minor things, and there's so many temptations on the airplane. And over the years, I've surmised that this is a training school. And that training school is dealing with how to master the physical, the mental, and the emotional. And in numerology, when the person is born, the date of birth that they know, they are given their destinies through their name and their date of birth, what are called the electromagnetic force field, the feminine and masculine energy that we draw in through our mother and father and our sisters and brothers. When we get to that point, then we have to overcome, because there's all kinds of temptations down here. Because this is, to my opinion, being in this field for over 40 years, this is a self-mastery training school. And we're here to graduate. And that graduation comes through inch by inch is a cinch and yard by yard is hard. And I really think that this energy, and there's several things we have to deal with. And what most people don't know symbolically, three kings that met Jesus at his birth told him, and they also told us, you have three major issues here, money, sex, and power. And nobody disagrees with that. Everybody has those three issues that they have to deal with, and they have to conquer, and they have to convert from the negative aspect of those three factors within our being and conquer them and to master them. So that's where it begins, and then we do it through the going within, the mastering of self. And I do classes, a lot of workshops on self-mastery, of how to deal with the mastery of the physical body. And in many cases, that requires a tremendous amount of picking yourself up, dusting yourself, starting all over again, and forgiving ourselves for not being perfect. Because it's my opinion that nobody on this planet who's ever lived has been perfect, in my opinion. They've all had to overcome. And a lot of it's a story behind the story. So this quest for self-mastery is what we're really here to go back to the alpha, back to the priest and the nun before religion, and then go into the world and teach people how to overcome and how to master and how to forgive. Forgiving is the key, in my opinion, because we've all made mistakes. We're all going back and reverting back to the power of the subconscious mind. The collective energy of all the past lives we ever have is stored within our subconscious mind, symbolized by the Queen's Chamber and the Great Pyramid, where we visit. And then to move into this concept of the ascension process of moving into the King's Chamber, which deals with the superconscious mind, and become that superconscious being that we're meant to be. And that being helps other people to move into the higher aspect of self-mastery. So that's where I'm coming from there, John.
Great. Great. Well, I know one of the pieces that when we spoke the other day that you were talking about, why you were excited to come on the show, was that in the numerology that you do, you work with not just the individual numerology, but planetary numerology. And some of what you've been getting about what's taking place right now really has to go out there in the world. So could you touch in on that about the, well, how you do planetary numerology as opposed to the personal, and then also what you've been getting about what that numerology tells us?
Well, it's interesting because I was going to be a psychiatrist at Michigan State, and I couldn't get through statistics. And the stat teacher called me in and said, Davis, you're going to flunk this course. And now I've taken numbers way past
right.
Science of statistics. Another lesson for your listeners.
Absolutely.
to master it. It's quite interesting. But it's hard to explain when I picked up this planetary numerology. And I happened to do the Gettysburg Address with Lincoln on November 19th of 1863. I found something very interesting about November 19th, 1863. That energy that he changed the world 87 years ago, 19 is the moon, the subconscious, excuse me, the sun. 1863, number 18 is the moon. And the destiny of that day is 111.
Nice.
And 111 is the beginning of a new physical, mental, and emotional destiny for planet Earth. He also said 87 years ago. And 80, very, very interesting, adds up to number 120. And number 120 adds up to the same destiny as the beginning of the millennium of January 1 of 1999. So 80 is the same energy as January 1, 1999. Now, Lincoln knew something. He knew that he had to know the secret language. And when I broke this 111 thing, I realized in the year 2011, which is a very, very major planetary shift, and I'll ask your readers to do this, excuse me, your listeners to do this a minute, is to take the year they were born throughout the 19. If it's 54, then it's 54 plus the age they are in the year 2011. I ask you to do the same thing, John.
All right.
Take the year you were born. And then what is your age now, somewhere in the year 2011?
Right.
Add those two figures together, and what do they add up to?
111.
Mm-hmm. And I've done this for several months now, and everybody in the room, anybody who was born between January 1 of 1900 and December 31 of 1999, has the power energy of 111. The same energy as 80 in November 19th, 1863. What does it mean? Alice Bailey talked about us. Talked about the group of world servers. She said around the year 2000, a group of world servers would become very active, and what they would do is to become co-creators. And what we're involved in with the year 2011 is thousands of individual souls who do not know they have planetary power to change the direction of planetary history. We are in that situation right now where people are being called to meditate every day and to pray every day and to realize within their destiny, if they're aware of it, is a way to co-create, to create a new planetary DNA, which also was symbolized by 1999. 1999 means planetary DNA. So the group of world servers, thousands of us, have this job of using the power of what I call the Aquarian Age, which is the second age that is being, was born on January 1 of 2008. At that time, we had the beginning of the Aquarian Age, which is a mental age, which is a world age, and the power of thought is involved in the next 2,000 years. And Aquarius is that energy where we touch into world power. And what is recommended, and it's very simplistic, is what we do is we pray every day, and we project thoughts into the world. We are planetary farmers of world consciousness. We have ultimate power. Now, the only thing we cannot do is put ourselves in the process, because this year, by the way, 2011, if you take the zero out of 2011, that 211 energy is the Ark of the Covenant. And that Ark of the Covenant is present this year only as a life lesson. And here we have thousands and millions of these individuals with a 111 power that they can sit in meditation and prayer and thought project of what they want this planet to be, what they want this planet to become. Here's what I pray for every day. Every day, twice a day, morning and evening, I have for all this year when I discovered it. Here's an example. The homeless find homes, the hungry find food, the sick and injured to be healed. World peace, world unity, world sharing, world prosperity. Businesses succeed in all nations. And as a result, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of employees are hired. And 2011 is the beginning of the most successful economy the Earth has ever experienced. Those are golden seeds. They are planted. They are planted this year, very specifically. So when we incarnate again, we're going to find a much different Earth than we do right now. On top of this, this is the year, this is really the millennium and the age, Aquarian Age, of the empowerment and the beginning of the feminine millennium. We have been ruled by males in the last 2,000 years, and now it's going to be in women's hands. The feminine heart within the man, or the physical woman. And this energy of the future is in our hands right now, because it's all, this year it's all focused on using the Ark of the Covenant, plus the 111 of a new beginning physically, mentally, and emotionally. And we, the collective universal planetary farmers, are using the Ark of the Covenant every day. Now, when we use the Ark of the Covenant, there's only one exception. This is for everyone except us. That's the key. And that goes way back to Atlantis, when the first priest king of Atlantis, Thoth, who was named after Thoth, and the priest kings after him in Atlantis, they always gave the same, and when they took their oath of office as the priest king, they always did a similar prayer to what is here. I'm going back into Atlantean history and found it. They're praying for not only, and they symbolically felt that all children were their children, and I feel the same way. Not only our own children, but the children in this country and all over the planet. And this is why women are going to be leading this new millennium, because a woman will not hurt a child. And either we're a male with a big heart. But nonetheless, this energy is here. We have 1 year of springtime where we hold these mental thoughts and we project positive thoughts and we use the energy of the Ark of the Covenant because it's here. It's right here. It's a mental ark. And we are planting these seeds for a positive, wonderful future where win-win is the new law, and the abolition of WAR, by the way, and to pray for politicians to bring the feminine energy to the same level of the men in their country. And then on top of that, to eliminate SLAVERY from their country, because there's a lot of it in foreign countries, to plant those seeds of those thoughts that overlay these leaders in their countries And they follow through with the ideas and concepts that the Group of World Servers projects into the world, into the mind of the world, and brings forth this these manifestations. So really what I really wanted to do on your show was to really explain this powerful concept of what is here right now, and it is present. It's almost like there's a vote going on the earth. And you know, with a vote, with a voting machine, the only votes that count are the ones who are voting.
Absolutely.
So if enough people get this message, and there's other people in the world that have this too, have the same issues. They speak different languages. They're having the same, issues. When I give this talk, I always say, well, I called Brian Williams with this information to announce the birth of the Aquarian Age, and he didn't put it on his show. Well, it's a little joke. I mean, this should be shouted from the rooftops, for heaven's sakes, that we are co-creators, and I believe we all are co-creators. That we were born to co-create this new earth with humility, love, and service. And it's about everyone except us to pull our ego out of the equation. To me, that is power. Right. As I analyze power, that is power. It's about everyone else except us. And that energy that was transferred from Atlantis to Egypt. And by the way, this this Thoth energy, this great one who incarnated as Hermes, who built the Great Pyramid, he had the most pure democracy in Atlantis. And what happened with July 4th of 1776? Thoth energy is in the second pinnacle of it. And also, symbolically, July 4th of 1776 is I am that I am. It's all in my book, Revelation for Our Time. So what I'm saying, there is a symbolic, John, there's a symbolic thing that's going on here. And people come to me and they say, why'd you write that book? Well, I'll tell a little story. But I was on a radio show in 1997, right in the Bible Belt. I was on for 2 hours explaining the concepts of my book. And the radio talk show host was a wonderful gal. In the last 30 seconds of the show, she said, Mr. Davis, if you have anything else to share with our Christian community in the South. And I waited until I had about 3 seconds, and I said, there's no Satan, Antichrist, or devil. Good afternoon.
I'm sure that dropped like a bomb.
Yeah, and they never asked. She never asked me back on the show. I could never figure out why. I rewrote the Book of Revelation. And wonderful. There is a secret language that was used in the Declaration of Independence. It was used in the Gettysburg Address. It was used by the Masons who founded this country. And then in another chapter of the book, I talked about the secret destiny of America. And what July 4, 1776 means, 7-4 is the energy of Messiah, and 1776 is the energy of the world. So what the United States is, their destiny, July 4th to 1776, is the Messiah of the world. And this is why the United States has done so much for the world and has always been there for people less fortunate than they are. And I could just see the Founding Fathers sitting and contemplating this July 4, 1776. They knew the language, because that secret language has been passed on from generation to generation to generation. And now we're in a position now to really change the course of history of the people, by the people, and for the people. Right, the grassroots is where we are. We can use the power of our mind to do so.
Well, and one of the things that I've channeled that I really think fits with what you've been sharing here, and it really resonates as truth for me all the way through it, is that conscious thought, that which is consciously focused on and magnified, has so much more power than that which is working in the background in the unconscious. And so as we come together with these consistent visions of what we would choose to create for the world, it has so much more power. We don't need 50% of the people or 100% of the people on the planet to get this. We simply need enough of us individually focusing on it and bringing that mass consciousness energy together to create these changes. So we don't have to go down and convince everybody in the Bible Belt or anywhere else that this is the way to go. We just need to magnify those energies together. So
I want to speak about 2012.
Oh, sure, please.
2012. because that year of 2012, with numerology, you take the zero out of any type of configuration of numbers. In this case, it's 212. And there was a very famous president who was born on 212. And I'm convinced this energy of Lincoln is overlighting this whole process. And his energy has been, ever since the Aquarian Age was born, this Lincoln energy has been in and out of my configuration planetarily, who I can't share with it anyway because I become Dr. Woo-Woo in my community here talking about this stuff.
This is a woo-woo place. You can talk.
I'm glad to hear that.
We
but
speak
Dr.
woo-woo.
Feels good about it. So let's look at 1221. 1221 means the 12th power of 21, which is the secret language for world. And 12 of 21 adds up to 33, which is the 33rd degree of masonry, which was so revered by the founding fathers. And I asked the listening audience, with this kind of power of Lincoln, the founding fathers, the 12th power of the world, the 33rd degree of masonry, how can this change be anything but positive? Because it is positive. But you know, positive news has a challenge to be shared and to understand. And this is why we have spent, I know you have too, John, spent a lot of time dealing with a positive outcome for December 21 of 2012. Here Lincoln's involved. Here's the 33 degree of masonry. Here's the 12th power of the world. And also, Toth jumped in here, by the way, in the ascending and descending pyramid, the Star of David of this date. So he's overlying this process too. This and I ask your listeners to Google Toth, T-H-O-T-H. He's one of the greatest souls who ever lived. He was named after thought. He was named after the world, and he was definitely a co-creator. And I think this energy is being passed on to us, the common people of this planet, so we can close our eyes and to start projecting these thoughts and projecting these new energies into the world, a universal energy embracing all peoples of all religions and all nations. Win-win for everybody. That, to me, is the perspective that we're going on to. And also I see in this 1221 of 2012, King Arthur's energy in the King's Chamber. Mm-hmm. So the King Arthur's energy of the Round Table is now going to be, in my opinion, in the future, the Round Table of Nations, where all nations are equal. I think that's where we're going. And it all started with, this whole thing about from the founding fathers, all men are created equal. And they should have said all men and women are created equal, but it was existing then in 1776. So what we're doing is we're elevating the feminine energy to an equal position with men. And I think this will be a real, these kind of energies, and I know you believe in this, John, will have a real, real influence on the future.
Most definitely. And I just want to make a piece of extension of what you're saying there, because I do believe that to me, it's all about balance. And as disempowered as the feminine has been, and as the female has been, the masculine has been that disempowered as well. Just because the men were dominating things doesn't mean that they were in their power. They weren't. Domination is not true power. And so I just want to put that out there, because that's one of the strong messages that was actually the first thing, or one of the first things that I channeled, that Osiris came in to say, is understand that this is about the balancing of these. And yes, the feminine is coming into power and the female, but it's not about now the men or the masculine is to be subjugated. It's
not at all.
That equality piece. And
it's totally equality here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the women have to be brought up to the same level all over the world, not just the United States, because I think there is a female-male equality here. It's coming into fruition.
Absolutely.
We have to do it all over the world so they get it. And you know the attitude of foreign countries involving with men and women.
Well, yeah, it certainly needs some work.
Yeah.
But I, I believe that's underway. I think, wouldn't you say that that has something to do with the Arab Spring that happened with, you know, multiple nations either changing out their governments or certainly attempting it?
Yes.
The shifting toward that power. Balance.
By the way, one chapter of Revelation for Our Time, I have a chapter on Armageddon. Now, one of the rules, if you want to disempower a word, you spell it. So here's what Armageddon means. That in the year, in this next 100, 200 years, women are going to be the major rulers of the earth. That's what that word means. Hmm. And look how it's been misinterpreted.
Right.
Again, the secret language. Again.
Right.
You've got to look at the story behind the story, which you do in your radio show, which is, I just so respect what you're doing. You're bringing the story behind the story to your listeners.
That's really what we're seeking.
Of the Paramahansa Yoganandas and the Hamad Bays way back in the 20s and 30s, and then sooner or later the rest of us came on the scene to help with this. It's just going to be a wonderful earth plane.
Oh, amen. Amen. So last segment of time here before I go into the channeling, would you speak a little bit about how people can get a hold of you if they're interested in having one of those 30-minute numerological readings with you, if they're interested in finding out more about that leadership training? And, of course, any of you who are listening can always contact me, and I can put you in touch with John Davis. But how would they go about finding you?
Well, Coptics have a Coptic Center. It's a national headquarters in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And they can call anytime Monday through Friday, 616-531-1339. And I'll be happy to explain anything about the Coptics, the Egyptian Mystery Schools, and, of course, the leadership training course, which is coming up. They may want to become a metaphysical leader. And like I say, we've been doing this since 1985. And then, of course, I do numerology readings. I put them on CD. I answer all their questions about their destinies. And I think eventually in the future, I think mother and father will be given astrology charts or numerology charts on their children so they know how to bring them up.
I think that certainly would be very wise.
Very wise, and the parents just love to find out what their children's destiny is, because it's always right on, because it's a science. They created their own life script,
right,
as we created our planetary script, which is now coming into fruition. And this is why the world servers are being contacted. This is why probably most of your listeners were called to Earth to help in the transition of Pisces to Aquarius, and from the masculine age of the mind into the feminine age of the heart, with what I call the mystical marriage between the heart and the mind. That's what the Bible means. When the heart and the mind are unified and there's equal balance between thinking and feeling is when that, and mastery, by the way, mastery of the physical, mental, and emotional, that one thing on a planetary level and a personal level we're all dealing with.
Right.
To reach that point of graduation from the airplane, which we're here to do.
Right.
That's our purpose. When we master this earth plane by mastering our desires of our physical body, that'll do it.
Wonderful.
I always say, I just gave a talk the other day on self-mastery, and I said, you know, someday is not a day of the week. Because people say, someday I'm going to start exercising.
Right.
Someday I'll take time to meditate. Oh, someday is not a day of the week. And everybody smiles and laughs, and we've all done it before.
That's why we all smile and laugh at it. praying every day, could you repeat that prayer one more time for people?
By the way, if they call me, I'll be happy to send them the full prayer. I didn't give the whole prayer.
Okay.
So I didn't think of the prayer, but basically simply, and you got to, it's the simplicity of the prayer which is important. This is why advertisements are so simple, because the mind on a personal level and a planetary level respond to simplicity. So here's what it is. The homeless find homes. hungry find food. Sick and injured are healed. Earth peace, earth unity, earth sharing, earth prosperity. Businesses thrive in all countries, and as a result, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of employees are hired. 2011 is the beginning of the most successful economy the Earth has ever experienced.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I just want to remind people who are listening out there of something that one of my previous guests brought up, that she was called to have individuals every day at 11:11 gather together and just sit in the energy of love and with the energy of love, and that that will be creating a wave of consciousness. And I just love the idea of melding that prayer with that moment.
Well, this 11:11:11 is a very, very important day.
Absolutely.
Very important.
Well,
day.
And she was suggesting doing that every day at 11:11:11. But
well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But any, you know, because all those ones, and, right. And of course, these ones this year, we have the 11:11:11, we have four ones, starting the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, mm-hmm. have two more ones,
right?
Which means two more levels of spirit of the spiritual dimension. But we also have at number 20, which is the 10th power of the feminine energy, which is the Immaculate Conception. Because you see, each day is an Immaculate Conception that will be manifested 9 months later to the day, or it's the destiny that was created 9 months before that time.
Right.
So any day is the potential of the creative energy of exactly 9 months, as above, so below.
Right.
So 11:11:11. And when you look at 11:11, you go 9 months earlier and you have 2:11, which happens to be the Ark of the Covenant. So you see why the 11:11 was created, because of 9 months before, the Ark of the Covenant, the mental ark, the mental and spiritual Ark of the Covenant, had something to do with the Immaculate Conception of 11:11, which to me is what I call the age of the group Messiah. That's what I think this is all about, for us to take our power and to bring forth through the power of prayer, through the power of thought projection, and take our power and really send those energies outward.
Wonderful. Now, for one more question. Imagine that someone were listening to you. The Ark of the Covenant was just a phrase that they've never heard of before. In short, how would you define that energy?
ARK, Acts of Random Kindness. That's what the Ark is.
Nice.
You see a man standing on the corner and says, I'm hungry and I'm out of work. Give him money. Now we're talking about the physical, mental, and emotional level. We can do it through prayer. We can do it through thought projection, giving it to charities, giving to countries that need the help, feeding the world, whatever it takes. It's an act of random kindness, where no one knows about it except us, that we're helping people. And I know you live your life that way, John. I know that's your philosophy of life.
That it is.
Yes, it is. And that's what your radio show is doing for so many people. It's really giving the tools that can really, they can become that humility, love, and service that moves into the world and helps other people with no thought of return. Acts of random kindness.
Beautiful. Thank you. I'm glad I asked. Thank you, Spirit, for bringing that question up. All right. So are you going to stick around for the channeling, John, so I can talk to you?
I sure will.
Okay. Great.
Sure will.
So it is transformation time. This has been transformational already. But for this, I would just have my audience out there, as always, before I go into the channeling, allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to bring in whoever wishes to speak here today. Whew. dear ones, this is Toth, come to be with you today. Welcome. Welcome, brothers and sisters. Welcome, family. Because that is what this is. Family. The family of the light workers, the light servers. The family of humanity. The family of your Mother Earth. You are all children stepping into your adulthood. You are all children stepping into your power. And we would say that there is a phrase that you often use. Among you, it is about the strength of the chain. The chain is as strong as its weakest link. Humanity is as strong as its most forlorn. And as you step into opening to what was shared, that all children are your children, step also into all men are your brothers and all women are your sisters. And know that you are here to love them. Know that you are here to serve them. Know that you are here to remember that you are all one. And we do not mean to remember that mentally. We mean to remember that, to put that back together on all levels of your being. To remember emotionally that you are all one, to remember physically that you are all one, is to honor each other, every last one of you, honoring every other one of you. Now, this is a big vision. This is big change. And yet, it is what you are here to do. So do not be disheartened by that vision. Rather, be enheartened by it. Allow the energy of it to come into your hearts so that you can be empowered by the vision of what you are already creating. The vision of this entirety that you call planet Earth coming together in that unity. And it is spoken in many ways by many of the light workers, by many of the teachers, by many of the prophets, and we will use that word, of the prophets who are on the planet now. But what matters is not what the teachers are teaching. What matters is not what the prophets are predicting. What matters is what you are experiencing individually in your heart, in your mind, in your body, and as all of those come together in your intention. And so we would ask you to breathe in that energy of the unity of the family of humanity. Breathe that into you now. Open your heart center and fill yourself with all the others who are here, the love of all the others who are here on this planet at this time. And it is not the love that they are already giving out. It is the love that they are capable of giving out. It is the love that they are opening into giving out. It is the love that they are opening into knowing for themselves. And as you open to experience that love of the all that is humanity, of the all that is your family, so you are fed to love yourself more. To feed yourself better, to care for yourself more, to honor yourself, your light, your path, the love that you are, the gifts that you are here to bring, the creation that you are here to create. And so breathe that in and carry that into every cell of your being and into every aspect of your emotional body and into every bit of your mental body and ground and merge it down into the earth. And give yourself to this vision that you are only
among family here. And as you own that vision, so you become the world creators that you are. And know that our love is with you, and that you are our family, the family of the Ascended Ones, the family of all the light beings on all the levels. Our love is with you to create this, to live this, to be this. Namaste, dear brethren, in the light. Well, thank you, Thoth. And thank you again to my guest, John Davis. It's been wonderful to have you here and for your energy to call in, Thoth. Not someone I channel very frequently, but always a pleasure when he does decide to join me. So, all right. Well, it's been a blessing and a joy. And so, Doug, if you want to begin those chimes, I want to thank you, John, for joining me again. It was a pleasure.
John, it was an honor being on the show.
And very enlightening. And I want to thank everybody out there in the audience listening, both live and Memorex, for helping to co-create this time together. I can't do this without you. So let me know what you think. Slip me an email. Give me a call. Your feedback is always appreciated. Suggestions for topics, suggestions for guests. Anything you want to say, I want to hear. I will be back next week, same time, same place. Next week will be the drawing. Yes, all those who've given me feedback go into the drawing for the free work. I hope you'll join me again out there in the truth within. Remember, you never know where this show will go, and you never know where you're going to go until you get there, until you choose where you are going. So, much love, my friends. Have a wonderful week. Namaste.